Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I think you should go first this time.
The Suggestible, the podcast. The podcast where we suggest things podcast to people. We say, podcast. Hey, we've been watching some things. We've been listening to some things. We've been with some. We're going to tell them to you. And then you'll know. If you haven't seen them, then you can. But if you have, just go on with your day.
Correct. I'm Claire. There's James over there. And most of the time, I just like to make fun of him. Yeah. Even though we're married and it's a podcast.
And sometimes we also do a podcast.
Hilarious.
Thank you.
Big old boob. Not boot, boob.
Boob, you switched it up.
Yeah, it's a real fun word to say, boob.
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 Boob. Boob. There should be more O's. I reckon they should put three O's in boob. I think it'd be better.
Boob.
Boob.
Just one boob. I don't like boobs so much. Not so no? fun. Boob.
If there are more O's as well, it could be like the ghost of a boob. That wasn't that funny. Come on.
I can't. So I've never laughed like that before.
No, she does laugh like that.
Well, no, I don't. Do I?
Yeah.
When I really find you hilarious, which is very rarely.
Thank you.
Your boob. I just make no sound at all.
Because you have to leave the room to laugh for 4 hours. All right, we should get started for my first recommendation.
You should. Off your chop.
Just started this. There's been 3 episodes out. It's on HBO Max. It's called
Maximum. I don't know why I did
People
that.
People love that when you yell on a podcast. They love it.
Back from the microphone.
I know. It's called I'll Be Gone in the Dark, based on the book of the same name. And it's basically about, or at the hunk, but I meant to write hunt. The hunt for the Golden State Killer, who operated through the 70s and 80s. 50 plus rapes and multiple murders.
Dear Lord.
Never caught this dude, right? Just disappeared. But what this series does, it doesn't just look at that. It chronicles the work of Michelle McNamara, who is that right? Yeah.
I don't know, mate. Get it right.
It is. Hunting down this guy in the present day, or between 2011 and 2016.
And she's
right?
married to Patton
Yes,
Oswalt,
that's right, which I will talk about. But yeah, so it basically intertwines her investigation and her personal life, because they get married, they have a child together. He's a very famous comedian. She's an author, but she's always been acknowledged as like this really great author, but she'd never really been happy with how her kind of career had been going. She couldn't find like the thing that like to kind of lock into, if that makes sense. It seems to.
So yes. That sounds very familiar.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. But yes. You've got lots of things going on.
Oh, yeah.
You're a mum, and that's all the things
my
that you
God. Know. Which, by the way, is a very important job. And,
of course it is.
And very valid if that is your career path of choice too.
Definitely. Whatever
However,
you want to do. Yeah.
I don't know what I want to do. I guess I'm doing this podcast with you.
That's right. You have to critiquing other people's great work. But
thanks. Jesus. Anyway, continue.
Hey, look, like I'm some kind of superstar. I go on YouTube and go, the Transformers movies aren't very good, are they? We know. Everybody knows that. But
I know. Anyway, let's get back to talking about it.
Because
this is an incredible story on multiple levels and terribly sad.
Yeah, it is. So it's her life intertwining with the investigation of this situation that is long gone and forgotten. And the thing is, as well, she is a brilliant writer and she has been acknowledged that over the years. And what she brings to this investigation is, not only she's really good at locking in on clues and just pouring through hours and hours of like audio
police interviews
and documents and just tons of this stuff that she's going through over the years and interviewing different people. But she's also very creative. So she brings that different perspective and she's able to kind of almost kind of imagine scenarios of how things would play out. Mm. And what she managed to do, she identified all these unseen connections which people hadn't had before, because it also existed, these killings and rapes, in an era where rape wasn't really considered that much of a crime. Like, you get a few months. It was like an armed robbery or something like that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And often there was no, like, the detectives they'd send, that was very clinical, and there were a bunch of like middle-aged men being like, well, what did you do to put yourself in this situation? And all these kinds of things, even though this guy was breaking into houses and raping people.
My God, well, it sounds so much like that show with Toni Collette.
It's exactly like that. Yeah.
What was that show called? I'll get on the Googs.
So yeah, she even coined the name of the killer because he didn't really have a proper name. Like, because for years people also thought that the killer was the separate from the person doing the rapes, but since some people had cottoned onto it. But anyway, long story short, and people probably know this, this guy did get caught recently, and it's not up to this point in the documentary yet. But the other really sad thing about it is the book that this is based on, which is also the series. She passed away in 2016. She went in for an operation and it just went south and she died. Like, she wasn't supposed to die. She wasn't clinically ill or anything. Not that anyone's supposed to die. Do you know what I mean, though?
I know. She was still very young and it wasn't something that had been planned.
She had a young daughter. She was in her early 40s.
Did she die at home?
She died at hospital, I believe. I don't have that information in front of me. But it also explores their relationship because she's in it quite a lot through archival footage and interviews that she's taken, and they narrate some of her book using somebody else. But they also interview Patton Oswalt, who talks about the person that she is and her family life and growing up and how difficult that was because she was the youngest in her family by 15, 16 years, and all her siblings are much, much older, and the kind of the frayed relationship she had with her mother because they just didn't. They
really
just
gel, different
really
people.
Gel, yeah. And it's not, of course, with families. It's not that you don't love each other often. It's just you've got clashing ideals. And so it's not just a straight-up murder mystery, which the story in itself is really interesting, but why I'm also finding her life really fascinating. And what is also tragic is she didn't see the result of this. The book was published 2 years after her death, and now we're getting this show now.
Wow.
So even though she'd uncovered all of these things and she was making ground, she never really saw, like, the results of this, which was really quite sad she was a pivotal role in catching this guy, but she wasn't the only one. There were a lot of other people who were not giving up on this for years. People like detectives who worked on it who just couldn't let it go.
Yeah.
So she's not the only voice in this, but it's a really interesting perspective, and I'm not big on like true crime and murder mystery stuff all the time. I find it a bit kind of, I don't know, kind of exploitative and a bit kind of unsatisfying. But the perspective she brings as well is very much from the victims as well, because they also show, I'm going to shut up, I've been talking about this for a long time, but she talks about how they had your true crime shows in the 80s and they'd reenact it and there'd be like a woman in sexy lingerie on the bed and a guy breaks in and it's kind of shot like a soap opera when really they were really horrific and matter of fact, like terrifying things that he was doing, which slowly built up into murder. And this guy, the way that this guy was able to operate in like the same area, and he'd strike houses like two or three away from each other.
Wow.
Like, he'd be casing the place, plate the streets for
weeks. How is it that they didn't find him?
It's just not putting things together, poor detective work, DNA samples, all of these things which they didn't have then. It was kind of a combination of things. It was also the fact that they didn't seem to take it as seriously.
Yeah, and and that's what I think is at the crux of a lot of this true crime. And I went through a phase where I was listening to a few true crime podcasts, but I agree. I find it really hard to find the line between exploitation and then also really great reporting, which then enables people who hadn't previously been found to be found and then charged for their crimes. And the show we were talking about was Unbelievable.
Thank you. Yeah, that's
with Detective Grace Rasmussen.
Which I think was also based
Tony
on
Collette.
A true story.
Yeah, well, and that was a similar story where a young girl was her house was basically broken into and she was sexually assaulted.
We did cover that here, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we did. I also think we should make a disclaimer that if this brings up anything for you, we'll put some links in the show notes to places to, helpline and things. I think part of the issue with this kind of stuff and back then is exactly what you said before, that it wasn't always taken as seriously. I mean, rape was still legal in marriages till not very long ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea that this was as serious a charge or as serious a crime as murder in lots of ways was just not in the culture. And I think women's weren't believed in the same way.
No.
They weren't
and there
taken
was a lot
and
of
crime
blame.
Against yeah, blame put on them.
And you look at the campaigns at the time and they show a lot of them, it's like, this woman's walking at night, but she's walking to her car by herself and she's reading a book, but she should be looking around.
And what's she wearing and is she drinking and all of those questions.
It's victim blaming. It's exactly that. Which still is a thing. That's still
it absolutely is. Yeah. It absolutely is. And I think part of this might be also like what you just said. Who is making those documentaries about these kind of true crime events in the 80s? Men. So, so much of this is from the perspective of a man. And so I would love to see, it's Michelle McNamara.
Yes.
Yeah, her perspective on this, because I totally agree that I think when true crime is written from the victim's perspective,
yes,
you really see a whole different view of these of this kind of crime and just how serious this kind of crime is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it reminds me to Dolly Parton, her podcast.
Oh, she was 36. Wow. I didn't realize, yeah. Sorry, yeah, I was just so looking tragic. Up. Yeah, yeah.
I was just going to say Dolly Parton was really good and is really good at writing songs from the victim's perspective. No, 46,
sorry, go on.
46.
Sorry, it doesn't matter. What am I doing? Sorry, sorry.
That's all right. Yeah, go on. Yeah, Dolly Parton's really good at writing songs from this perspective, I think, from the victim's perspective, and because often historically in that – in that kind of music that she was writing, in that country music, a lot of the, you know, murders and assaults against women were written by the perpetrators even.
Yeah.
Of
they get their books, you know what I mean, where they talk about all their great crimes that they did.
And anyway, I don't want to go too far into this because life is hard enough as it is, but I think that sounds fascinating and I would love to watch that. And I – yeah, I do think it's so important.
It's not fun
now.
Either. Like, it's bad. Like, it's not. Mm. I watched 3 last night, and it was horrible. Like, it wasn't.
Yeah,
it's put me in a weird headspace and paranoid about making sure the doors are still windows locked, which I'm already pretty paranoid about. Yes. This is. The other thing is, they have interviews of the women, and they sit down with them and they take it through it and how it's affected their lives and how their family reacted and how their husband reacted and all these kinds of things. And a lot of them are doing great, like they're doing really well, and some of them are still together and work through it together. But other people, you know,
couldn't
for obvious reasons, and oftentimes, you know, because they don't know how to handle that. There was no counselling for something like that happening.
Yeah, in the '80s. Yeah. Oh God, the 70s I know. Even,
which yeah. A lot, yeah. So anyway, that's that. I've probably taken up too much time, but
You've thoroughly depressed us all.
I'm going to have one for my next one.
All right. Well, no, that does really sound fascinating. And what it does remind me of just very quickly was that podcast, The Teacher's Pet, because there's a similar story in there where a man's wife goes missing. The police do a very half-hearted attempt to find her. And he says she's left him, but then it becomes very apparent very quickly that he's murdered her. He
definitely murdered her.
Correct. Yeah. But it's just never really looked
it's
into.
Baffling.
And what really gets me and makes me sadder is that so many of the women that are interviewed in that podcast say things like, but we were women, we weren't taken seriously, or I didn't even think I had the kind of power to be able to go into a police station and say, hey, my friend is missing. Or they didn't even It didn't even occur to them that they could.
Yeah.
You know? And so how far have we come, and how awesome. There you go. Here's a positive. How awesome. How far we've come in that women have found voices and victims of crimes like this, not just women but all people, have found the ability to talk and avenues like podcasting.
That's right.
And, you know, streaming platforms to tell these stories.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
All right, okay. Bing bong. It's time for an ad, James.
Is it? I can tell from the bing bong.
All right, so have you ever searched for something online that's inappropriate?
Funny you should ask. Yes, I'm doing that right now. Going to turn my computer around because you will divorce me.
Oh, never. That's right. I love you too much. Well, I know most of you are probably thinking, why don't you just use incognito mode?
Don't be naive.
To do that.
Don't be naive.
Well, exactly, because it doesn't matter. It will not hide what you are Googling or your browsing history. Holy dooly. Your internet service provider can still see every single website you've ever visited. My goodness. That's why we use ExpressVPN, sponsor, ExpressVPN. We love you guys.
We do.
It doesn't matter if you get your internet from Verizon.
Yep.
Yep, or Comcast.
Yep.
ISPs in the US can legally sell your information to ad companies. Goodness, this is terrible.
Doesn't seem right.
does not. Luckily, ExpressVPN is an app that reroutes your internet connection through their secure servers so your ISP can't see the sites you visit. ExpressVPN also keeps all your information secure by encrypting 100% of your data with the most powerful encryption available. Ooh, it sounds like a spy movie and I love it. Most of the time, I don't even realize I have ExpressVPN.
It's really quick, which is nice.
Yeah, it's so great. You've talked about this before.
Yeah.
Super. High speeds. I love it. It seamlessly goes in the background and is easy to use. Also, you can flick between countries very easily.
That's really good if you want to watch something from a different country on Netflix or another streaming service or whatever. I'd use it a lot for downloading stuff or watching stuff on like HBO that I can't get here, which is really frustrating. So
I know. Yeah. I use it for Hulu.
Yeah, oh, there you go.
It's really awesome. ExpressVPN is available on all your devices, phones, computers, even your smart TV. Mm. So there's no excuse for you not to be using
it. I use it to Google something embarrassing. Like if I'm trying to think, because there was something that I Googled, what was it? It wasn't even like a weird thing. It was just
elephants
like,
wearing ballet shoes.
It was something like that. But I just
a monkey on a skateboard.
I didn't
want to
be like something like if I died and someone opens up my computer, it's like the last thing that I looked at.
I talked last time I talked about how I was Googling ASMR Harry Potter travel agency.
That's right, yeah.
That's the most embarrassing thing I've ever Googled.
I doubt that.
Yeah, I doubt it too. Anyway, so call to action.
Yes.
Yes. Protect your online activity today with the VPN rated number one by CNET and Wired.
Sorry, I yelled over your thing because I was doing a call to action, but read that again. Sorry.
Don't yell over me.
You said call to action. I was calling to action.
Goodness me. Are you ready for me to go? Protect your online activity today with VPN rated number one by CNET and Wired. Visit our exclusive link, expressvpn.com/suggestible. And you can get an extra 3 months free on a 1 year package. That's expressvpn.com/suggestible. Expressvpn.com/suggestible to learn something. No, to learn more.
Or something.
All right. Thank you, ExpressVPN. Back to the show.
Bing bong.
Can we move on?
Definitely.
Can I have a go now?
I would love you to.
All right. I'm going to do something much happier. Oh, it's so fun. It's three of my favorite people. I love this video so much. Ooh, ooh. See, I'm doing my own hack. So, because you bloody won't do it over there, Mr. Murders Left, Right and Center. So, RTE Comic Relief put out a video a few weeks ago starring Paul Mescal and Daisy Edgar from Normal People.
Oh,
it's
really
hilarious, yes, and they reprise their roles as Connell and Marianne. If you haven't watched Normal People, we talk about it in a previous episode. It's brilliant, and the book by Sally Rooney is also brilliant. But there is a surprising twist on this little hilarious video because special guest Andrew Scott, the sexy priest from Fleabag, also plays it. It's so great. It just combines like two of my favorite shows from this year. So Andrew Scott plays the sexy priest and he is in the confessional and Connell comes in on one side and then Marianne comes in on the other. Hilarity kind of ensues and they're all in character.
This sounds so funny and great.
So if you want a little gigs, you should definitely watch that because it's just really awesome.
Especially if you're a fan of those shows, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
Otherwise it would not make that much sense.
Actually, no, I wouldn't know because it's all sort of references.
You got some good TV to get through there though if you haven't watched it.
You have. Yeah. Fleabag as well. Oh my gosh, it's just so brilliant. So that's one thing. And the other thing I wanted to talk about briefly before I let you go on is if you're looking for a show that'll just kind of sweep you away, that's not terribly serious. The Broom Show.
Sweep you away.
That's a bit rom-com, a little bit like hilarious, sort of romantic, with still some, you know, quite relevant points to be made. It's the First Wives Club, but not the film. I mean, also the
show.
The film.
I've seen you watching that.
The TV show, it's really awesome. I finished watching it a little while ago. It's on Stan, I'm pretty sure. Stan? I think so. Stan or Amazon Prime.
It's on one of the things here.
One of them. Yeah. And it stars one of my favorite comedians that I've started following on Instagram, Michelle Buteau as Bree, Jill Scott as Hazel, and Ryan Michelle Baith as Ari, who are, if you haven't seen the first film that was starring Bette Midler.
I have.
Who else was in that? And
Goldie Hawn and Diane Lane.
Diane Keaton.
Yes.
Yes.
I get those two confused, but yes.
Oh,
right.
God. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So basically all three women are in relationships with their various men partners and they all kind of get kind of done over in different ways. And so it's about their friendship and how they navigate that. It's set in New York it's really fun. It's sort of has a look at family life and motherhood and parenthood and relationships. One of the husbands cheated on his wife. One of them is like a politician who's putting his career before his wife's career. And the third is a singer who, which is Goldie Hawn's kind of character, I guess, from the first film, who gets done over by her husband manager and gets kicked out of her incredible penthouse suite.
Even though
apartment.
She's like the star or whatever.
Correct, exactly. And it's all about her exploring her art and finding her own voice and, you know, all that stuff, you know, empowerment and everything. And also what I find is really great too, as a side note, is that the cast is entirely black. Mm. And that I think is awesome and adds a different element to the show as well. But it's not really the focus of it.
No.
It's just that is what happens
to
in
be.
The cast.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. And I love it and I really recommend it for a good fun time.
All right. Yeah. No, I've seen a little bit of what you're watching it. It is. I agree.
Yeah. I think
stuff.
I'm
pretty
just
funny too.
Yeah, part of it too is that I'm realizing I often only watch TV and film that features people that are like white women.
Well, yeah. Well,
like
a lot of
me.
It, but a lot of it is that though also.
And it is. A lot of it is that as well. But I think that's also I'm making a really concerted effort and watch and read and listen to stuff that is made by people that don't just look like me, that are from a whole range of different backgrounds and different experiences. But I guess also it is kind of normal too that you are drawn to art and books that kind of talk
sure.
about your experience.
Well, I exclusively like movies and shows and books that are about and written by men in their mid-30s. Otherwise, I'm not interested. Who are dads with two children? Otherwise,
you
I'm not
would.
Interested. I don't want to hear about other experiences.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, I know. Anyway, I just thought it's well worth pointing out that it's important to try and do that more. And you get lots, just so much more stuff.
Yeah, well, that's right.
And there's just so much rich work
and again, like you said, it's
art
not,
out there at the moment.
It's not like
it's
the
awesome.
Point of the show, but it's just a different perspective.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. And it's discussed sort of in small parts within the show, but it's mainly just a good fun time.
Okay, cool.
And I love it.
I got a good fun time.
Your turn.
Claire.
Okay.
This movie is Ooh, it came to Hulu.
A good long fun time?
No, never. It's called Palm Springs. It's on Hulu. It's directed by Max Barbaco, and it stars Andy Samberg, who you might know from Brooklyn 9999999. Mm-hmm. Christine Milotti, who you might know as the real mother in How I Met Your Mother, but also other things that she's terrific in. And J.K. Simmons, who you might know as a guy who goes, bring me pictures of Spider-Man. You know him?
Yeah.
Terrific. It's a great cast. Oh, it's also got the Australian guy. What's his name? Chris Pang.
Oh, awesome yes.
Well.
You
really
love
like
him.
Yeah, I do. So it's basically, it's opens with a wedding in Palm Springs. With Kristen, did I say Kristen? I think I said Christine before. It's Kristen's sister's wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And she's kind of like, she's a black sheep of the family. She's like, oh, this wedding, whatever, have to be made of honor. And I make a speech and she has to do all that. But she has a meet cute with Andy Samberg, right? But then as the night progresses, they get kind of caught in this entanglement and she wakes up the next day and it's the same day again. So it's Groundhog Day. But what she figures out very quickly, and this is like in the first like 10 minutes, that he's been doing this same day for who knows, could be 1,000 years.
Oh, whoa.
So yeah, so she's new to this and he's been doing it. So they have these, you know, the scenarios that then unfold from that is she's trying all these different things to get out of it, including like suicide and kind of and telling real truths to people and all these different insane scenarios before they kind of settle on just doing things, you know, that have no real consequences, and they just create all these ridiculous scenarios that then they then play out during the day, and the movie becomes that. But then you know, maybe they're falling in love along the way and learning lessons. Because
this sounds so far up my
alley. It's so
good.
It's so funny. Like you really need to watch it because it's also really fun. There was a few moments that I actually laughed out loud, which is really unusual in some of these scenarios.
Yeah,
which they,
you never laugh.
No, I don't. But there's because obviously they know how everything plays out every day. They know what's going to happen, so they can craft these insane. There's a moment, it's in the trailer, but they put a bomb in the cake. I'm not going to say any more than that. But it's also really well paced, and you're going to get sick of it. So before you're like, so it kind of stays on things just long enough to move on to the next thing as well. And also, it opens with Andy Samberg has a nemesis in this realm also, who keeps coming after him, which becomes like a recurring thing in it. It's really great. It's one of the best things I've seen this year. It's one of the funniest things I've seen this year, almost certainly. And it's just nice to get something like this. That's, you know, it's trying times, but it's just a really, just a good movie. And if you've seen Groundhog Day and like Edge of Tomorrow, you know the premise, but It's just great. You should watch it. Watch tonight. It's really good.
Okay. Yeah. I totally will because that's all I feel like watching at the moment. Yeah,
no, you'll love it. You'll really love it.
All right. Yeah. Excellent. That sounds awesome.
Last thing before we wrap it up.
Last thing. All right. Well, last thing is a thing to keep you laughing called Last One Laughing.
Last One Laughing.
Last One Laughing. So I finished watching this the other night. I actually binge watched it. It's the first thing I've binge watched in so long because I'm so tired. I go to bed at like 7 o'clock. But I couldn't. I had to finish it. It's on Amazon Prime. It's hosted by Rebel Wilson. 10 Australian comics have 6 hours to try to make each other laugh, and the last one to crack wins $100,000, which is a huge amount of money.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was $100,000.
Yeah, it's a huge amount of money. So the comedians, I could see James is like prepping because he has opinions.
Not really.
The comedians are Dilruk Jayasinghe, Frank Woodley, Nazim Hussain, Anne Edmonds, Ed Cavalier, Becky Lucas, Joel Creasy, Nick Cody, Sam Simmons, and Susie Youssef. I think, personally, Frank Woodley, Anne Edmonds, and Becky Lucas really stole the show for me.
Some of them are just kind of standing there like mannequins, not kind of doing anything.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Or they, yes, particularly Ed Cavalier, I felt, was like a really passive character.
Yeah.
On the surface, this show does not sound like something I would be into, but oh my goodness, I think part of it is just how insane they go because they don't put any filters on it.
No.
It becomes super explicit.
They can say anything.
They can literally say and do anything. So there's like nudity and like warped kind of like penis jackets and like a lot of like really full-on dirty jokes. Yeah. And it just
and some of them don't play that as well. Like Frank Woodley, I'd forgotten how funny Frank Woodley is, but it's just so dry and so clever. The moment when he brings in Photoshop pictures of some of the other people in there, because you could bring in props, you were telling, because I'm kind of in and out of it. And it was, I don't know how they didn't break, because it was some of the funniest stuff I've seen. Like, it was so funny. Yeah.
And I think what's so incredible about him is that his comedy is,
sick about it, sorry.
Yeah, I know, it's so funny. And the thing about him is that his comedy is so heavily physical as well as being clever with words. So he's just brought together so many different elements and it's just amazing to watch a master at work. And I think it highlights too the different types of comedy that they bring to the table, but also really interesting the kind of strategies that they play because there's alcohol involved as well.
Yeah.
So it just becomes debaucherous and rude and absurd.
And mean.
And mean. They're so mean to each other because one of them
is. Anne Edmonds has said some really mean things. Funny.
They're so funny. She comes in different characters. There's a character called Auntie Carol, which is just like hysterical. And just like everybody's got an auntie like Auntie Carol. And what they do say is that because comedians are such weird people, they need to get really weird in order to make each other laugh. So I just find it just a joy and also a kind of strange and awful at the same time because it's also a real test of strength, really.
Oh, yeah.
To not laugh or smile for 6 hours straight, just on its own, without just being around normal people,
it's
regardless
like
of whether they're comedians or
it's
not.
It's like Big Brother if it was interesting.
I guess so, yeah, because they literally have cameras everywhere. And Rebel Wilson was an executive producer on the show, and she is brilliant. I think you can see in this why she has the career that she has, because she has she presses the buzzer quite a lot. And you can just tell that she really understands what's funny and what's not funny.
Yes,
and definitely. When to kind of step in and when not to.
Nice
so
that
I
Rebel
just
Wilson comes back every 6 months to quickly film a show and leave.
Yeah.
No, genuinely, because she does movies and then she'll come over and be like, I'll just do this thing really quickly.
Yeah, in Australia and then go back.
Again, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, so I just thought in the end, I couldn't believe that I enjoyed it as much as I did. And I think you should absolutely
watch it.
Because
it's one of those things you look at it and you're like, oh my God, it's
Australian
comedy.
Well, I don't really like reality TV.
Well, I also don't like a lot of Australian comedy that's on television because it's the same shit.
Yeah.
But this was really good. I wish I had watched it from the start because I haven't. And I know what happens in it. But
Well, there's going to be another series, I think, by the looks of it. Sam Simmons, his comedy, I just couldn't get into.
And that's the thing, you don't gel with
but it was so brutal.
Yeah,
like he was so explicit and so absurd and so intense and. Yeah, but it does. I think the reason why Australian comedy you can tell on TV, on mainstream TV anyway, isn't that great is clearly because of the networks and the channels.
It's the same voices when they should. And some of them are like veterans in there. Like Frank Woodley's been around for like 30 years.
Yeah.
Not that long, but he's still good. But there's other people, like there's newer voices that you don't see. Like, again, Becky Lucas, she's been a comedian for a while as well. Not 30 years. But you don't, you should see people
No, but she's
more.
Very young.
Yeah, well, that's right. Exactly.
Comparatively. Yeah. Or Anne Edmonds or, you know, Joel Creasy. They're all really great. Even Nazim Hussain is really, really funny too. And there's, I think, there's, you just need a variety of voices and a variety of voices that are allowed to do things that are different.
Yes.
And you see that in this because it's just clearly all improv.
Yeah.
And really, really awesome. Anyway, so last one, Laughing on Amazon Prime. Go and check it out if you need a laugh.
Sure, it's not Prime Video.
Oh, yeah, it is Prime
Doesn't
Video.
Doesn't matter. People will figure
Isn't
it out.
Isn't that the same thing?
No, they're different.
Oh, God. Well, this is Prime Video.
Yeah.
All right. I
Which might be called a different thing overseas. Who knows?
Oh, Lord. Yeah.
All right.
Oh, no.
We got to move it along.
We got to move it along.
If you could review the show, it really helps. If you could do it in-app, 5 stars if you want, that'd be great. In-app, you just open your app and you do it. This is from Tyron101. It says, got her. 5 stars. It says, Claire, my wife and I love you. Seriously. But James got you good in that Mr. Peanut Movies episode. Totally called you out on all the interrupting and it was great. The banter is great, but sometimes setting each other straight is much needed. Oh, a great podcast. I recommend listening and subscribing and rating in order to follow along with the amazing marriage story. Also, the latest brand spanking new episode is really good. I love the more serious ones. It's from Matt and Megan from Nashville, Tennessee. Do you want to get, you got some recommendations there?
I certainly do.
While I try and settle our baby?
Yeah, I know. You can tell she's chirping away in the background. If you would like to rate, not rate, James is rated. I don't even know what day it is. I'm exhausted, guys. If you would like to write us an email, tell us what you think about the show, give us some recommendations. We would love that. And so I've got one from Kevin Prakrad. So, hey, Claire and James. So when you first started this pod, I started listening consistently. Anyway, oh, he dropped off for some reason. Oh, no. Well, I hope you're back now, mate. I just got back on the train again and I'm listening to it in reverse order. So I've got a few recommendations. I recently finished the Kurt Vonnegut book Bluebeard for my summer college class and thought you might enjoy it. It's a hoax autobiography following the life of a disgraced abstract expressionist painter named Rabo Tarabekian, who actually appeared in another one of Vonnegut's novels. The book is surprisingly touching and manages to gracefully tackle gender issues through Tarabekian's relationship with a widow who forced herself into his life. It is a wonderful
Tell you what,
work.
I'm bloody dropped off on this email, am I right?
No, I'm just joking. It's a wonderful work from an aged Vonnegut. I have got just hit on so many pronunciations that I can't.
Vonnegut?
I don't know. I'm Kurt too Vonnegut. Tired to, I can't, I don't know. Vonnegut towards the end of his career. And for James, I know that you like your musicals and one of my favourite musicals ever is Stephen Sondheim's Sunday in the Park with George.
Hmm.
Heard of this one?
Never heard of that one.
It is a fictional account of the life of painter George Sorrow.
I don't know.
Sorat. Oh, God, I can't pronounce anything. As he paints a Sunday afternoon on the island of La Grande Jatte. Oh, God. Over 2 years in the 1890s.
I think this is all made up and just there to test you.
Yeah, I feel so.
Sounds made up, Sorat.
It's a beautiful ode to art and artists, and I love the beautiful music that comes with it. I hope you've enjoyed my suggestibles. Keep up the good work. Best, Kevin Prakrad. Yes.
Thank you very much for the email and for coming back as well.
Thank you very
much for the email. Just like I came back into your email at the end. Well, I was off sorting the baby. I sorted it. I came back. I'm with
you. He sorted everything out. Oh, and just quickly too, we have a little correction from last episode that I just wanted to bring up really quickly. So we may or may not have said women don't get boners. And by we, I mean you.
Hey, man, I'll own it. That's what I said. Yeah.
Anyway, and so we just wanted to – we've just been highlighted that kind of wording is trans-exclusionary language and it could be seen as a microaggression.
Sure.
And so we just wanted to apologize and let you know that we love everybody. We are definitely not transphobic and we are learning way along.
Yeah, that's right. Look,
and I think that the thing that I loved about getting emails like this is that we are trying our best, but we don't always get things right. And it's really nice to be educated.
I think so, because I think if people say, well, the goalposts are always shifting. Yeah, that's what happens when society, like, so it's important to kind of try.
Yeah.
Look, I'm not on top of everything all the time and all the proper terms.
No, and we use so many words all the time and say things in jest. And it was in jest.
Yeah.
It was totally. A joke.
But if people, I do apologize for that because we want this to be as inclusive as possible. We don't want, to people to think that. Not respectful of whatever your background or sexual orientation.
Exactly. It's all about listening and empathy, which is ironic because I never listen to you.
But most of all, everyone should listen to us and what we say on this podcast because we're
anyway,
right.
All we want to say is we love everyone. We're trying our best and we love you specifically, listener.
Hey, thank you.
No, I'm talking to the listener who's listening to us right now.
Terrific.
And we are wishing you all the best in all your future endeavors.
Correct. And we'll see you next week for more of this shit.
What? Good Lord. So bloody depressing.
Okay. Yeah, right. Goodbye for real though, because I gotta pick up my
See you later. Bye. Okay, bye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.